that I really wanted to hear. If you really wanted to come, ask yourself, what is it you'd like to come after today? Set a purpose. The Course in Miracles says that that will determine the outcome. So it's really important for us to have a purpose for everything that we do. It's important that we not just be bodies sitting in the house. Set a goal for yourself today and remember.
You don't need guidance except at the mind level.
Okay, the only place you need guidance is in your thinking. The only place that you need guidance is in your thinking. Correction belongs only at the level where change is possible. And change is only possible at the mind level. True change, until you change your mind, you haven't made a change. If you just change the outer and the effect without changing the cause, then the cause is just going to reproduce itself in another way. So when you deal with the effect without dealing with the cause, in other words, if let's say your effect is that you have relationships that can only be pitted. And you keep thinking changing people is what's going to give you the good relationship instead of realizing that it's the way you think that's causing the problems in your relationship. So if you change the relationships, the bodies, without changing the mind, then you haven't really made a change. So correction only belongs at the level that change is possible, which is at the mind level. So the Course teaches that our most cherished possession is our image of ourselves. And that when someone really is trying to get you to change your image of yourself, actually, even though you would think that's something that you would want to do if you're not satisfied, subconsciously it's seen as a threat. And the Course says you actually have resistance and hate the person that's trying to get you to change, even though you came to them to help you change. And I'm just saying what the Course says. And so, therefore, that's why when people say they want to change, they resist it a lot because they actually believe that keeping themselves the way they are is where their safety is, because they wouldn't have made the personality that they have unless they believed that personality was somehow good for them.
Yeah.
So the minute you say you want to change, your personality says, uh-uh. Okay, personality says, okay, you can go to those classes and you can read those books and you can go to those workshops and you can hike until you have bunions on your feet. But you still gonna be the same person that you were before, because I am your personality and I'm not ready to change yet. Okay, so that equals up to reading a lot but never having an actual behavioral shift, which is what people tend to do. They read and study but don't really change. Because they really believe their safety lies in the way they are now, but the Course says what we're trying to do is find a way to be the way we are now without going through the suffering that causes. I'm really trying to be the way, I'm really trying to stay the way I am, but without the problems that it causes me to be this way. Think about that for a second. So when I come to a class or read a book, I'm really trying to hear how I can have everything I want without changing the way I am. So if I hear something different from the way I am, I have what I call resistance. So when you feel resistance to what I'm saying, the resistance is coming from your old personality. Okay? You are the one that came to the class. Your personality would rather be in the park. Okay? Eating some barbecue or something. All right? So the Course says change doesn't mean anything at the symptom level, because change can't work at the symptom level. The correction of fear is your responsibility. So the correction of your fear is your responsibility. When you ask for relief from fear, you are implying that it's not your responsibility to let go of your fear. So instead of asking to be released from the problem, so instead of being asked to be released from the fear, what a person should do is ask for help in the conditions that brought the fear about. Instead of being asked to be released from this problem that I'm going through, I ask for help in the conditions that brought it about in the first place. Because if I can get the conditions corrected, I let go of the problem. I let go of the fear if you take away the bear. Don't worry, I'll take care. I'll handle the fear. Get the mountain lion out of my face. Then I let go of the fear. See what I'm saying? So don't ask for the release from the fear, the anger, the upset. Ask release from the condition that's making you angry, weary, jealous, and upset. Now, what's causing me to be angry, jealous, weary, and upset? I'll answer that. You don't even have to figure it out. See what this class is? You don't even have to think in here. Unless you just want to, you don't have to think. Okay. How do you get rid of it? Well, you have the condition that's upsetting you in the first place because you have a willingness to be separate. Because you have a willingness to be different, because you have a willingness to be separate from God, separate from the truth. I have a willingness to be separate, and he says that's what's causing the problem. Actually, if I saw myself as one with the mountain lion, it would never attack me if I was really sincere about that oneness. And if I'm faking, I'll find it out fast. But if I'm sincere, and it's not, a lot of people don't believe that, but if they really were coming from love, if they were really coming from spirit, if they were really coming from their God selves, there's nothing on this planet that could hurt you. And there would be nothing on this planet that would hurt you. If you were truly loving, the mountain lion would just lay down beside you and want you to stroke his head. Okay, there are people who are doing that, but they don't let you see them because we put them on Cirque du Soleil or something. So people who are awake tend not to be around people who are asleep. So the people who are asleep don't think there's people who are awake, and the people who are awake, well, they're too busy being awake. They just send a lot of love to the people who sleep. They just pray for them. Because they know it's only a matter of time before we all wake up to who we really are. So it's no chance that none of us, we're going to all make it, y'all. Don't even think for a second that you're studying, because if you don't get it right, you're not going to make it. You are going to make it. You've already made it. We were created by a love that would care about us more than we care about ourselves. It would be cruel for God to leave your healing in my hands. And my healing in your hands. So my being healed has nothing to do with being liked or yours either. It doesn't have anything to do with anything like that, because God, according to the Course, our Creator, is much too intelligent and much too loving to leave it up to you thinking that you deserve to be helped in order to be helped. So you're being helped whether you think you deserve to be helped or not. That's what love would do. Only unreal love makes you meet some condition before it would do something for you. That's our level. And we got to realize God doesn't love at our level. Thank God doesn't love at our level. Woo! Man, I'm still trying to forgive the person that stole my lollipop in the third grade. I'm slow. You know, so if your salvation rested just on me seeing you correctly, you'd be up the creek. You better be glad that your salvation don't rest on nobody else around you who don't really know. But on the other hand, it does. Because we give each other an opportunity to remember the truth through each other. We either give each other an opportunity to forget the truth through each other, or we give each other an opportunity to remember the truth through each other. Those are the only two things that are ever going on in any relationship. Either with somebody that's putting you to sleep, or you with somebody that's waking you up and putting you to sleep and waking you up and putting you to sleep and waking you up and waking you up and waking you up and putting you to sleep and waking you up and waking you up and sleep to sleep. So that's what we do. We go to sleep and wake up. We see that all the time. Bet you did last night. Yeah, well, that's the way it is. You go to sleep, you wake up. Sometimes you're conscious, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're loving, sometimes you don't know what the word love means. So give yourself a break. All right? Give yourself a break. When you're asleep, that's your call for love. When you are awake, you're just loving. When you're asleep, you're saying, help me, please don't attack me while I'm in a comatose state. I've forgotten who I am, please don't attack me. Even though I'm attacking you. Because you attack me back, then you're just as asleep as I am. And that's the hardest part of the spiritual path, is not to attack when you think you're being attacked. Even in self-defense, which is justified. And I blow you away. If you just didn't mess with me so much, I wouldn't blow you away, but you mess with me. I'm a nice person, but I'm going to blow you away. Did I recognize that? Okay, all right. So the Course says that this entails a willingness to be separate. At that level, the willingness to be separate, you can't help it. You're much too tolerant of mind wandering. You are passively condoning your mind's miscreations. You are condoning your mind running around. And he says, we're condoning the misperceptions that we have. He said, but the particular result doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter what your wrong thinking is creating in your life. But the fundamental error does matter. The fundamental error is my mind wandering and not asking for help in the conditions that's upsetting me right now. Don't worry so much about the results of your errors. That's not what the Course is interested in. It's just trying to get us in touch that we're making a fundamental error of not doing change at the level that change is possible, which is at the mind level, and we're condoning our mind's miscreations, and we're not asking for help in the condition. We keep asking to be released from the fear. See, that's what the Course wants us to remember. So, but this is what's cool about it. The correction is always the same. I like my corrections being always the same. I get tired of having to remember a lot of different answers. I like a book that says, just remember one thing. Because I used to equate spiritual awareness with how many different things I could remember. How many different answers I could get. Now I equate it with, let's make it simple. Give me one answer that'll work in every situation. And the Course says, well, here it is. This is what you do. Before you choose to do anything, ask me if your choice, not me, but please don't ask me. If before you do anything, don't ask me, please. I say if I'm being high enough. Before you choose to do anything, ask me, who is me? Holy Spirit, higher self, Jesus, whatever you, the real you, the God you. The Course says, before you ask to do anything, ask me. And if your choice is in this penitence of your higher self talking to you. Before you choose to do anything, just ask me if your choice is in accord with mine. If you show that your choice is in accord with mine, there will be no fears. What you say? If you're sure that you're doing what I'm telling you to do, there will be no fear. If you're sure you're listening to your real self, your real God self, your divine self, if you're absolutely sure you're listening to me, there will be no fear. That's how you do. That's how you correct yourself. You always ask as much as you possibly can, and if you're really in touch with your real answer, you'll feel peace about the action you're getting ready to take. If you're really in accord with yourself. Now, sometimes we do things and we're not in accord with ourselves. So it's no big deal to have some fear and still go ahead and do it anyway. We all can do that. Okay, we do it all the time. So then I don't like it when it says stuff like there will be no fear, because I do so much shades of gray that I don't like it when it's that cut and dry. If there is no, if there were just no fear, then you can be assured that you're making a choice that's in accord with me. Why? Because any choice in accord with me would be a choice where you felt peace, because your goal is peace. Don't forget that's what your goal is. It's not really the thing. You just think the thing or the situation that you get here is going to give you peace. What you really want is peace. So an answer should be giving you peace. Okay. Any questions about that paragraph? Any comments about that paragraph?
Oh, it's in this book where it says, I will make no decisions by myself.
Yes, chapter 30, the new beginning, first section. Yeah, it works. If anyone, including myself, tells me that they have studied the course and they still got the problem, it just means you're still learning how to read the recipe.
Where is it again?
Just learn, it's chapter 30. It just means you're just beginning. It doesn't mean you're doing it. It doesn't mean you're applying that. You cannot apply the truth and not get the result. I'll say it again. You cannot apply the truth and not get the result. You cannot apply the truth and still have the problem. So if there's a part of you telling you you're doing the best you can and you've really been practicing the truth and you still have your fear and conflict, you have not. And it would be better to tell yourself you haven't than to tell yourself you have and it hasn't worked. Because that doesn't give you any faith in your curriculum. Right? If you're unhappy, it would be better to say, I hope I am wrong. I don't want to be doing it right and be miserable. I don't want to be right if I'm broke. I don't want to be right if I'm lonely. I don't want to be right about the way I'm seeing things if I'm afraid and jealous and depressed and upset. I want to be wrong. But most people want to be right more than they want to be happy. The Course says we get up in the morning with the goal of being right. Okay, it's a brand new day. I'm going to see how much I can be right today. No matter how much I'm wrong. And I'm willing to argue with people and debate with them to be right even when I'm wrong. Because I want to be right. And then there's another person that says, I want to be happy, I hope I'm wrong. I want to be happy, I hope I'm wrong. That's deep. So, if you're sure that your answer is in accord with the Holy Spirit, there will be no fear. If you are sure it's in accord with self. If you are sure, it says there will be no fear. No questions, no comments, no ahas. Everybody got that? Okay. So if you're afraid about something, should you ask for to be released from the thing or ask for help in the conditions that's causing the fear? Okay. If you've been having bum relationships, do you just go out and get another body or do you get another script? That's another way of thinking. You're going to give them a whole new play, right? Okay. If you are asking spirit to release you from your fear, are you implying that it's not your own responsibility to let your fear go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you are trying to find out what you should do, if you have really checked in with your real self, will you be afraid or will you have no fear?
No fear.
No fear. You got that? Everybody got. So from the rest of the day, whatever's coming up, you know what's happening. If you got a lot of fear and conflict about it, it means you haven't heard your guidance. Is this correct?
Yes.
If you're still worried about it and you feel like the situation hasn't been solved, you haven't applied the truth to it yet. Are we right? All right, okay. So the next paragraph says, fear is always a sign of strain. So you could say fear is strain. And he says, this fear or strain arises whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. Whenever what you want conflicts with what you're doing. Whenever what you want to do is conflicting with what you're doing. Whenever what you want to do is in conflict with what you're doing, it generates fear. So most people don't know that their fear is not coming from not being able to pay that $4 a gallon gas. The fear is coming from wanting to do something and doing something else all day. Wanting to say something, saying something else. Wanting to act a certain way, acting some other way. Wanting to be with this person, being with another person. Wanting to think this way, but thinking this. Of course, that fear is really coming from what? Whenever what you want conflicts with what you do, you become fearful and in conflict and in worry and depression and all that stuff. So, of course, now let me tell you how it happens. It happens two ways. The situation arises in two ways. First, you can choose to do conflicting things either simultaneously or successively. I can choose to do things that I feel conflict about one after another, or I can do a lot of things I feel conflict about at the same time. So if you do a lot of stuff you feel conflict about, you're making yourself afraid. If you keep doing one thing after another that's not what you really want to do, that you're in conflict about, he says you're making yourself afraid. So the name of the section is what? The fear and conflict. So it's telling us where fear and conflict comes from and how to get rid of it. So, that's the first way. What conflicting things. Now, how many of you have some things in your life right now that you're doing that you don't really want to do? In some area of your life. I wish everybody raised their hand. It's like, why come to a class if you don't want to participate? Why don't you just stay at home? That's what I don't understand. Like, when people come to a class and you ask them what they want to do, I say, well, I'm just saying, why come? I'm not trying to be cruel, but it's like, why come and spend $4 a gallon to come to take part in something that you don't want to take part in? It doesn't make sense to me. It sounds insane. But you'll see it, the resistance. We talked about that earlier, right? The resistance, the old personality. That's the one that says, I wouldn't raise my hand if your damn life depended on it, black man. Okay, that's the part I see the call for love. I needed you to come here today and scowl at me. I needed that. Okay, now. I needed a good scowl. Y'all got a typical scowl? Give me a scowl. The scowl at each other. I think you got my partner space. Could have been closer to the class. You ain't hard, though. Hello.
Scowl.
Who?
You.
Why do you think I've been teaching this long if I didn't have a hell of an ego? Please don't believe that. I just hide it good.
Thank you.
It's like my insane relative is in the closet. You know, I won't show you my worst side until you have a special relationship with me. Then I let you see that, Earl. Because we say that for the special ones. They're the ones who get a chance to see the craziness nobody does. Right? That's what we say before, don't we? But in return, they get the unrestricted use of our bodies. Sometime, maybe. I don't know. You have to work hard for this dysfunctional love, baby. I ain't giving you this dysfunctional love easy. You're going to have to work. So, if you're doing conflicting things successively, he says at the same time, he says, what does this do? Produces conflicted behavior, which is intolerable to you. Because this conflict is intolerable to you because part of your mind wants to do something else other than what you're doing, and it's outrage. So if you get a picture of those two of you, and there's one part of you that don't want to do what you're doing, And it's mad at you, because all day long you get up and you do what it doesn't want you to do. So he said, one part of you is pissed. I said again, there's a part of you that's angry at you because you keep on being untrue to yourself. And it's mad at you about that. And that's what the Course says is conflict of behavior. Not only is it mad, I like to say outraged. There's a part of you that's outraged. Don't you feel it? So let's say for that part of us that's outraged. Let's just say, I'm outraged. I'm outraged. Your financial situation. I'm outraged. In some aspects of it. I know you might have some part that's cool. You can go to a movie. Relationships where people don't appreciate you. I'm outraged. Being on a job that when the clock goes off, I want to throw it up against the wall. I'm outraged. The part of me that wants to stay in the bed is mad. Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the Course says the second thing that causes fear is you can behave the way you think you should, but without entirely what? Wanting to do so. And that's what I call nice people. Nice people, spiritual people do that. They like, you can be mad as hell, and you say, how you doing? I feel peaceful. I just love everybody. I'm acting the way I think I should. You really upset me, but I'm not going to say I'm upset. I'm going to say everything is fine. In other words, he says, you behave the way you think you ought to. You're a good little person. You always behave in the way you think you should. You always behave in the way, if you are behaving the way you think you should, he says, without really wanting to, he says, you have very consistent behavior. You seem like you're pretty much the same kind of person every time I see you, but you're under a whole lot of strain. You're acting the way you think you should, but you really don't feel like it, and so you don't go off on everybody, even though you want to, so your behavior is consistent, but you're under a lot of pressure. And then you just, they tell you something on your job that they didn't like about something you did, and you go home and get a gun and shoot 5 coworkers. That's a person under strain. That's an extreme form of what we're reading. He was acting the way he thought he should as long as he possibly could, and he finally attacked. That's why if you're around somebody and you're not letting them be themselves, then they have to start behaving around you the way they think they should, and then they start building up a lot of anger and resentment, and sooner or later you wake up and it'll be sick, 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 sick. You in the shower. Dear, is that a put the knife on sale? Come on, baby. Funny how when we talk about what all of us do, some of us can look at it like, really? So, really, people get angry? They get consistently what? So, in both cases, which basically, if you notice, was the same case. I just said the same thing twice, which is all it does. He says, this results in a situation in which you are doing what you don't really want to do. So if you're doing what you don't really want to do, you're going through a lot of strain and you have consistent behavior and you're acting the way you should, but you should want to. You know what you're doing all day? You're making yourself afraid. So are you making yourself afraid all day in one way or another? You're just making yourself afraid? No wonder things are manifested or attracted to you that make you unhappy. You are emitting a vibration of fear constantly. So then what happens? Well, you attract people into your life who are also behaving as they think they should without really wanting to. So all of you all get together and you form an organization. A culture.
Is that a good plan?
Isn't that a great plan? I'm miserable. I don't want to be miserable by myself. Let me get some more miserable people who are miserable like me so we can talk about something in common. That will end my social problems. But in the meantime, there are happy people. There are happy people. There are happy people living satisfied lives with people that they're actually loving and enjoying, and they don't worry about bills.
Really?
Yes, you get some Penelope. There are happy people. There God-loving people.
I needed them every day.
I see it in you. Most of you all, I've never had a cross word with anybody in here. But I don't have a special relationship with most of you either. So there might be a little clue to how you have happened to people all the time. You just might want to take a cue from it. Y'all have gotten along with me fine, haven't you? Good loving energy. Probably if I was standing in the middle of nowhere to die, there wasn't too far from your house, you might come get me if I need if I pay you back. But still, that's a start. I'm glad. I'm thankful. So whenever you're not doing what you want to do, he says, this arouses. How many of you all like to be aroused? Yeah. All right. One more time. Everybody like to be aroused. I'll tell you. But you want to be aroused by who you want to be aroused by. You don't want no unsolicited arousal. I know. My treasure map is my arousal script. Okay. Well, the Course says you will be aroused with a sense of coercion when you feel like you're behaving as you think you should without really wanting to, or doing something you don't really want to do. He says, and then it produces rage. So you go from feeling coerced to what? Rage. Okay, now when the person feels rage, this is what they're going to do. I am angry. I am upset. I am a victim. Why are you doing this to me? It's your fault. See, projection. He says, so projection is likely to follow. So, if you're not doing what you want to do, you're going to feel cursed. You start feeling cursed long enough, you're going to have rage, and then after the rage, you're going to attack. That's why you try to be in relationships with people that you let be. But that's not the way the fearful ego man does it.
You just need to change this, and you just need to change that, and if you would just change this, and if you just acted right, and if you just did the penalties, and if you just change.
You know, because I use my mind to come up with everything that needs to change except me. That's the role I assign to my mind. Please come up with everything that needs to be changed, and that means you. So if you would change, I'd be happy. You would change, I'd be happy. You gave a bit of love off me. I'd be happy all of y'all. It's not God who's taking care of me, you know.
You think you can money after us, sir? Oh, I love that.
Would you leave? I'm not going to act like I think I should without only wanting to. Well, you know, it's a bargain. I mean, it's not like you just walk in the door and you're just giving me money for nothing. You know what I'm saying? So if you want me to give you some, what you giving me? It's a bargain both ways, if you want to do bargains. I have done that, by the way, which is funny, because I have done that. I have come to classes and given people in the class money. They never came back. That freaked them out. They wasn't ready for that. You know, you'd be surprised how unprepared we are to receive what we're asking for. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked how you would act if the things you really are asking for really showed up for real. You'd be amazed at how you would react. You say you want love. You say you want safe love. You say you want a cool person. A person like that shows up, you'd be amazed at how much it brings up your suspicions.
Well, they try to sound guilty, right? If they didn't deserve it.
There you go. So if I feel guilty and I don't feel worthy, when you show up, I'm thinking that you got bad taste. Why? Because you're attracted to me. You don't have bad taste. If you was really as conscious as you said you are, you wouldn't be asking me out. So much for your psychic ability. Look, you're not psychic. Because I'm jealous as hell. You were out with me, I must know where you at every second. Because I'm full of confidence. Okay, he says, whenever there is fear, the Course says go slow, that's why I'm not rushing, if you've noticed. whenever there is fear, it is because you haven't made up your mind. 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 You're afraid because you haven't made up your mind. You are afraid because you haven't made up your mind. You are in conflict because you have not made up your mind. You're in conflict because you have not made up your mind. You are in conflict because you have not made a decision. You're in conflict because you haven't made a decision. You haven't made up your mind. You're in conflict because you haven't made up your mind. You are in fear about that situation, and you know the situation I'm talking about, because you haven't made up your mind. You're doing something you don't really want to do, and you're not asking yourself what to do. And he says, when you are in that state, whenever there is fear, it says because you haven't made up your mind. He says, when you haven't made up your mind becomes split, and when your mind becomes split, your behavior becomes erratic. So a person who has a split mind, who's not doing what they want to do, you don't never know how those jokers going to act. Every time you see them, they're a different way. Don't you just hate the people like that? You, 1 minute they one way, the next time you see them, they're a whole other way, and next time you see them, they're another way. He says they're erratic. You know, they're erratic. They are erratic, and they're erratic because they never make up their minds about anything, and they do things they don't really want to do, and they don't take any responsibility for their happiness. So they have erratic, split mind behavior. But, you know, if they look pretty good, I'll overlook it.
For a while.
I'll overlook it for a while. That's why, you know, when you think you're cute, you think you pretty much got it made in the world. Because you're pretty much in a world where if you look good, you are good. That's why people put more attention in their appearance than they do in their thinking. Because usually their thinking isn't necessary if they look good. You know. That's why I become more spiritual and more intelligent as I get older.
Yeah.
Thank you, baby. Yes, I feel look good. All right. Good. I can fool people a while longer. Good. Because we know that's true. We know that in the world it is what you have and what you look like that matters. And so we do get bothered when we look like we don't have and we don't look good, because who's going to want me if I don't look a certain way? Isn't that right? Okay, so the truth is, when you become conscious, you know what's really important is the mind that's going to be functioning through that body. But that's really what you're going to be dealing with. It's not that body. You're going to be dealing with that mind. And if it's a person that you're with who's always doing what they don't want to do, behaving as they think they should, you put so many limitations on, restrictions on them that they feel like they can't be themselves. You're walking around and you're being with friends or lovers or relatives who are very angry people, who have a lot of rage. So the way that you let go of that, how do you let go of that? He says, well, most people just stop doing behavior. They stop doing the first level, which is one thing after another that they think they shouldn't do, and they kind of move more into always behaving the way they think they should without really wanting to. So that's what most people, he said, but when you do that, he says, you still don't get rid of your fear. Just because you act in the way you should, but you don't really want to, so I'm sorry to tell you that, that's not getting rid of your fear. Actually, that's causing more fear. So it's possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under the guidance of God without any conscious effort. Isn't that great? There is a state that you will reach where you just put your mind under higher guidance and you won't even think about it no more. It won't even take coming to a class, doing workshops, studying, or anything like that. Stuttering or studying. Just think about that. I said again, you're going to reach a state of mind that you don't have to consciously try to do anything that we're studying. You just automatically be doing it without even trying. You're going to reach that state. But, like I love Jesus says here, but this implies a willingness that you haven't developed this yet. So this is going to, you haven't developed the willingness to put your mind under the guidance of God. You haven't developed the willingness to put your mind under the guidance of God, but you're going to reach a state where you do that. So, he says, the Holy Spirit can't ask more than you're willing to do. So, Spirit never asks. So, if God is asking you to do something, or your higher self is asking you to do something, then you know it's coming from your higher self because you'll be willing to do it. An intelligent being does not ask you to do what you're not willing to do. A higher intelligence asks you to do what you are willing to do. And most people approach the spiritual path as if they're always being asked to do something they don't really want to do. Like everything, you got to give up something you don't really want to give up. You got to act some kind of way that you don't really want to act. And the court says, well, let me give you the real deal. If I'm asking you to do something, you'll want to do it. Because I'll never ask you to do something you're not willing to do. Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something you're not willing to do. So whatever guidance you're getting from Spirit is guidance you would be willing to do. If I'm getting guidance from Spirit, I'd be willing to do it. Now, anybody got a yes but? Okay, okay, share your yes but.
Change is the fear. The fear is change. That if the current situation is causing the strain, I need to change, but change in itself causes even more strain. It's a catch-22.
If there is no fear, you're listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's all you would have to remember. That if you do every day more and more what you want to do instead of what you don't want to do, you will decrease your fear. If you ask for help in the situation and the condition that brought the fear about instead of release from fear, then you will release your fear. See, that's answers. All the figuring out you're doing, that's or the catch-22, that's just your ego's defense against remembering what I just said. Because there's really no need for you to ponder that. If I do this and this, then this is going to happen. If I do this, you could just go with, I'm going to do more of what I want to do. I'm going to ask for help in conditions that bring my fear about. I'm going to stop being so tolerant of my mind wandering. I'm going to get in the habit of asking the Holy Spirit. See what I'm saying? See, he brought up a very important point. I want to say that again, because I think it's one of the most important points you can hear when you're studying the Course in Inner Truth book. You can focus on what your ego is trying to confuse you about, or you could take one thing that you've heard that did make sense to you and put all your attention into practicing that one thing. Because that one truth that made sense to you would take you into all truth. The focusing on the part that seems contradictory and paradoxical, the Course says the reason why we do that is because we become afraid of the goal. So I've become afraid of moving toward this state that I'm reading about. So since I'm afraid to do this, I'm going to come up with things that give me justification for not doing it and confuses me and seems paradoxical and contradictory. So when that happens, you can go, oh, rather than trying to figure out this thing I'm analyzing, what I really need to do is say, Earl, you're becoming afraid of love again. You're becoming afraid of the change. You're becoming afraid of the goal. So now you're seeing contradictions and paradoxes. And what I need to do is ask myself in this situation, what is it that I really want to do? And if it's really in line with what God wants for me, then I will not feel fear. Or you can go, I'll feel a lot less fear the closer I get to the real answer. And then go ahead and move on that. And even if it doesn't turn out the way you think you wanted it to, you're still training your mind to start to ask and to look within, which is what needs to be strengthened, is our ability to stop for a minute and ask. It doesn't matter about how it turns out. You won because you stopped for a minute and said, God, what should I do? That was the win. Not whether or not you heard it correctly, but that you stopped long enough to even ask.
Yeah.
That means you're changing. But the old person now has to go, well, you know, gee, you had a little bit of fear, so you must not have really been doing it right. Y'all, because after a while, that's what your ego is going to sound like. It's going to sound like, where it used to be, you know, when you heard it would be, go call them on the phone and cut them out for what they said.
Yeah.
And then after you start choosing for peace, after a while, they go, I'm calling them a little bill. Thank you. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Yeah. Because I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. After a while, it'll be like this little crazy relative you got. You know, okay, all right, okay. Thanks for sharing. After a while, that's what you say to your old self. Okay, thanks for telling me again how big of a slob I am. Thank you. You've been constantly reminding me of that since I was a little boy.
Yeah.
You know, thank you. I trained you well. You do good. But I'm no longer listening to you anymore. I'm going to let you talk, but I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm not going to let you tell me what to do. I'm not going to pay attention to what you say. At first, you think you are your ego. So you are the afraid, angry, upset one. And the God self seems like a dream. I don't know if that's true. I don't even know if there's a God. Okay. That's who I am. Now, I am my ego. That's why then things start hearing, you are something else. You are love. You are truth. You are love. You are truth. And you listen to that. Then after a while, you start... Excuse me, Cheryl. We'll get on this side right here.
the side identifying the part of me that's love. And then that part, when it's talking this stuff, I just let it talk the stuff like it used to, but I'm not paying any attention to it. And so when you're in that in-between chair-moving stage, you think you're going crazy. So if you think you're going crazy, if you think you're going crazy now, you're probably in a very high state. Confusion is a very high state. It means you let go of one way of thinking, but you haven't totally embraced the new one yet. That's a good stage to be in. It means you let go. You disoriented. That means you let go. You don't have such a rigid hold on how you think everything should be. That's a good sign if you're disoriented right now. That's a good sign if you're confused right now. Yeah, it means you dare listen to something that's being said to you enough to go, oh, I don't know what to do now. Then of course, that's what they say, I need to do nothing. I need to do nothing. That's what I need to do now. If I'm not clear, don't do anything. If it's not life or death, it's not a train about to run over you, you probably got a moment to kind of get yourself together. Very few of us have life and death decisions happening here this second. Most things that happen to you, you can't step back and go, hey, give me a minute. I'm going to go check this out. You know, it's very few things in our lives that you got to do it now. But we act like it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's perfectly okay. I try to make it happen when people suggest that I do something, or even if it's something wonderful or beautiful, I try to have the presence of mind to go, let me check in, and I'll get back with you on that. Because most of the errors I've made did not come from the second voice, they came from the first one. I remember when I used to read in metaphysical books, always read your first mind, because your first thought, that's the one you should go with. And of course, that's the one that's the most wrong. If you be honest with yourself, that was the one that's actually taking you down the hole most of the time. So what you thought of is your spontaneous first voice. That's why you ended up in it. It's the second one that's more true, and maybe the third one, fourth one, and the fifth one. But if you really want to do good, go to the 20th one. Get back off of it a minute, because in most cases, in the beginning, you're just reacting. You're not acting, you're reacting. And if you want it, of course, if you do something you really want, you're going to work it out in your mind so that it seems like it's what you should do and what God told you to do anyway. But once you decide you want to do it, you're going to wrap all the universal truth you can every way you can and go, I can tell the Holy Spirit wanted me to be in a relationship with this horse because... Then you come up with some passage, you know. He's one with me. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth, right?
Yeah.
You know we'll see it the way we want to see it if we really want to see it that way, and we'll take everything we study to justify us seeing it that way. That's why you need to know the difference between what your ego would do to you and what spirit would do, and that's what the Course teaches you, the difference between the two, so you can tell the difference between when you're getting ready to jam yourself up again and when you're telling yourself the truth, like what we just heard. That if you keep behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to, you're not making yourself any less afraid. You're making yourself more afraid. And if it is an answer that's coming from the Holy Spirit, it's going to be something you're willing to do. You have to make a choice. This is where you have to go, okay, I don't care what other books say. If I'm going to accept this, then I'm going to say to myself now that if I have a decision I make and it's really, really something that the Holy Spirit is telling me to take a look at and look at, a way that the Holy Spirit is telling me to look at it, then the way that the Holy Spirit is telling me to look at it, I will be willing to look at it that way. So if it's coming from love, I'll be willing to do it. If it's coming from fear, I won't be willing to do it. So guidance that's coming from fear, I don't want to do. Guidance that's coming from love, I want to do. Don't analyze that. There's no need to analyze that. Analyzation would just be what? An excuse to not do it because you're afraid to do it. You're afraid to live that way, so you have to find something wrong with what I just said. That's what he's saying. The paradoxes and the contradictions come from the fear of the goal. If I'm not ready to do it, if I'm not ready to jump off a cliff, I'm going to come up with all the reasons why I shouldn't. If I'm not ready to forgive you, I'm going to come up with all the reasons why I shouldn't forgive you. If I'm not ready to leave that job, even though I say I want to, I'm going to come up with all the reasons why I shouldn't. So what should I do? You should say, I am on this job because I want to be on this job. That way you will not be acting the way you don't really want to act. You're on the job you want to be on. Why? Because you're on it. And there are other choices and you're not taking them. So you want to be there. So don't keep telling yourself you're having something happening to you that you yourself are not in accord with, because then you convince yourself you don't have the power to do what you want. It would be better to admit you're doing something that you don't want to do by your own admission that you're choosing to do that than to pretend you're in a situation that you don't want to be in. I don't care how bad it is. You'd be more powerful to say, I'm in this relationship right now. It's really challenging for me because I really want to be in this relationship right now. It's really challenging for me. And I would love to experience the peace of God in this relationship. And I want to be in it, and I want peace in it. I want to be, why? Because I'm in it, and I'm not going anywhere. And you know you're not. Why? Because you want to be there. That's why. I don't want to be there. I want to be with a person. Are you there? Yes. Where's the gun? Where's the chain? Would you acknowledge yourself in here in this much with me, God? Woo! Remembering together. Remembering together. Now, I order you to promptly forget most of what I said. Woo! Going to do the love offering. I want to take 10 seconds to say a little chant before we do the love offering. For those who don't understand, it's very, very powerful. It goes something like this. I am sustained by the love of God. I am if you want to have one-on-one sessions with me so I can show you how to apply all this stuff to your personal situation, it's up front, and you can get these and give me a call, and we'll hook it up. There are no original problems. They're all the same. So now we're going to take a couple of minutes before we go out to the lab to do the review. So you hear some points. To what? Remember. So you're looking for one thing to take with you. Remember, you should ask for help in the condition that calls for fear. Ask for the help. So, the problem that you're having is a result of a willingness to be separate. Remember, get off that thing, that old ego. Get off that thing, that old way of looking at things. Fear is always a strain that's arising whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. So stop doing what you don't want to do all day. As much as you can, stop doing what you don't want to do all day. Start with something small, even if it's something little. So normally I would just go along with it, but this time I'm going to tell myself the truth. You're going to make the decision that you're going to move in the direction of what you want to do, and you're going to stop a moment and ask your higher self, say, go, I'll ask the Holy Spirit if I should do this thing. And if the Holy Spirit is answering me, there will be no fear. And the Holy Spirit would never ask me to do something, what? That I was willing should without being wrong to do it. Stop behaving as you think you should without being wrong to do it. Stop behaving as you think you should without being wrong to do it. What? Stop behaving as you think you should without being wrong to do it. The reason there is fear is because you have not made up your mind. That's why you don't know how to fear. I say the reason there is fear because you have not made up your mind. Not going to ask for more than you're willing to do. If it's coming from the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be more than you're willing to do. If it's from the Holy Spirit, your higher self is going to want to do it. There is no strain in doing what you really want to do. So stop condoning your mind wandering. Stop asking for relief from fear. Remember to ask for help in the condition that talked to Peter about. I ask for help. Yeah.